spring is here, and we're a few days away from the opening of the Sioux Locks. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. The locks will open with the official start of the main shipping season on the Great Lakes. But in order for ships to move throughout the lakes, somebody's got to break the ice first. Mike DeVanzo is the commanding officer of the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Mackinac. We caught up with him on the icebreaking ship.
I am on the bridge of the Mackinac, and we're currently breaking the ice on the upper approaches to the Sioux Lock in preparation of lock opening.
When the locks open, ships known as salties can come into the Great Lakes from foreign ports.
The St. Lawrence Seaway opened up, will open up on the 22nd of March, and then once that opens up, then the salties will start coming in, and then the Sioux Locks will open on the 25th, and the whole region will be open to traffic as we clear the waterways of the ice.
Some people have tossed out the idea that our warming climate could change the length of the shipping season. Over the years, there's been less ice on the Great Lakes because the lake water has been warming. Researchers at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have found that ice cover has declined more than 70% on the Great Lakes since 1973. Glenn Nekvasil is the vice president of the Lake Carriers Association. It's a trade group for the vessel operators on the Great Lakes that fly the U.S. flag. I asked him what he thought about the possibility of a longer shipping season.
Certainly, you know, let's not go retiring our Coast Guard icebreakers. You know what I mean? But the length of the navigation season is something that could be looked at.
The Lake Michigan Lake Huron system has hit record low levels. How is that affecting your industry?
Well, water levels are critical to our industry. Depending on the size of your vessel, you lose anywhere from 50 to 270 tons of cargo for each inch of draft. So at the end of last season, our biggest ships were losing more than 10,000 tons of cargo each trip.
And what does that mean for your industry economically?
Well, I have to be careful here because of the antitrust laws. Trade associations cannot have knowledge of freight rates and all. But obviously, these companies are paid to carry cargo. So when they're not carrying cargo, that means less revenue, and that means less ability, less financial resources for them to maintain and modernize their vessels. But really, the most important question here is the companies and the industries that we serve. You know, the steel industry in this country still generates more than 200,000 jobs, and you cannot make steel without iron ore. And most of the iron ore that American blast furnaces use is mined in Minnesota and Michigan and shipped on the Great Lakes. Same thing with the coal for power generation, the limestone for the construction industry. These cargoes support a lot of jobs.
Is there ever a point where lake levels could get so low that it would no longer be feasible to transport goods on the lakes?
There's two issues there. There's a point where, number one, it would be no longer economically feasible to operate the vessels. I mean, it still costs just as much money to carry 60,000 tons as it does 70,000 tons. And the other issue is you also reach a point where the vessel isn't low enough in the water to be safely operating. That's the reason why we no longer take coal to Dunkirk, New York. There just isn't enough water in the harbor now to fully submerge the propeller and the rudder, so it would not be safe for the vessel to try to enter the harbor.
Glenn Nekvasil is the vice president of the Lake Carriers Association. Thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.